How do you sell Wall Street on new regulations?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Right now we're going to ask this morning's big question. How does the Obama administration win over big banks on a financial overhaul, one that already won? In one of his first public appearances since reform passed, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is going back to the lion's den, and he'll be touting the good the administration says the new reforms can do. Here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
The Treasury Department says the secretary will lay out the path forward for the financial reforms and talk about the core principles behind the new regulations. Cornelius Hurley directs the Moran Center for Banking and Financial Law at Boston University. He says it's not clear what those principles are, but he thinks Geithner will probably say something conciliatory, like this.
Look, it's been a long battle. We have a 2,319-page bill that we just passed, and let's all get behind it and make a good-faith effort at complying with these complex rules and so on.
But Hurley says he'd like to hear about one set of principles, those held by the people who work on Wall Street. He'd like to hear Geithner say it's time for a new ethic, one based on truth and fact.
And I would like to see that be his message, that it's not time to rally the lawyers and have them make Swiss cheese out of all of these new laws and regs that are coming, but rather it's a new day and a new ethic that we should be talking about here.
It's a nice idea. But even before Congress passed the new rules, bankers were already looking for ways around them. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Some positive news on Europe's economic front is helping stocks along today. Numbers are up right now. European markets up between 1% and 2%. Didn't hurt that big banks on the continent reported positive earnings today, including stellar reports from HSBC and BNP Paribas. Asian shares were higher today, and Wall Street Friday, stocks settled right about where they started. The Dow gave back a point to close at 10,467. The Dow added 7%, by the way, in July, its best month in a year. Well, starting in October, the United Arab Emirates will ban people using the internet from their BlackBerries. The government says there are security concerns from sending emails, surfing the internet, or sending text messages from those phones. And the move has prompted Saudi Arabia to take similar measures. The BBC's Katie Watson reports.
The government of the United Arab Emirates says BlackBerry is operating outside the law. That's because the wireless data sent from a BlackBerry, even in the UAE, is encrypted and sent to servers in other countries, including Canada. And that means the UAE can't monitor the information. Fevzi Turkalp is the editor of GadgetDetective.com. He says BlackBerry is known for its security.
The messages that are sent back into the inbox of BlackBerry users in UAE and Saudi Arabia are encrypted. The opportunity to snoop on them is vastly reduced.
The BlackBerry is one of the most popular smartphones in the two countries, with nearly 1 million users. An official from Saudi Telecom has admitted the decision is intended to put pressure on BlackBerry's owners to release users' data when needed, but the Canadian company has so far refused to comply. And critics suggest the UAE government doesn't just want to view the data, but wants to censor the information. In Dubai, I'm the BBC's Katie Watson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
President Obama says he wants negotiations on Russia's admission to the World Trade Organization finished pretty fast. The call for speed has some U.S. manufacturers worried that Russia will be given an easy ride on all the counterfeiting and piracy going on over there. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports.
Inside a shop barely bigger than a closet, the walls are stacked floor to ceiling with CDs, computer games and DVDs, including a dozen copies of the movie Night and Day and all four Shrek films on one disc.
What's the story?
How much for the Shreks? 200 rubles, the guy in the shop says. Less than $7. Counterfeit DVDs like this are common, but Russia says the situation is improving.
The government is certainly doing much to stop the sales of illegal DVDs or trademarked products.
Vladimir Biryulin is the head of the legal department at Russian law firm Gorodisky & Partners. He says companies can get justice through the Russian courts on intellectual property violations.
If an IP owner, be it a copyright owner or a trademark owner, wants to stop the particular case of infringement can state that 99% he will have success.
U.S. manufacturers agree the situation has improved in Russia, but they say China's commitments regarding enforcement of patents and copyrights didn't materialize after it joined the WTO, and they don't want to make the same mistake again.
China is a factor because what we learned from the China experience is that we want to see action before we see accession.
Mark Esper is vice president of the Global Intellectual Property Center in Washington. He says Russia should be allowed to join the World Trade Organization, but not until it lives up to a 2006 deal on strengthening protections for intellectual property rights.
They were asked to enhance their criminal penalties with regard to piracy and counterfeiting. That hasn't happened. We've asked to strengthen border enforcement. That hasn't happened. So while it's fair to say they've made progress, it's also fair to say they haven't crossed the finish line yet either.
Now, President Obama has said he wants the negotiations on Russia's WTO bid wrapped up soon, but some observers warn that unless Russia does more to protect intellectual property rights, it may have to wait. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a laundry detergent in Brazil that says it has a new way to get more people to try its new and improved stain fighter. Omo detergent, OMO, is drawing from the experience of getting a prize out of a breakfast cereal box or Cracker Jack. But the soap boxes won't have a prize in them. A few lucky customers will buy a box with a small GPS unit inside so the company can track where the shopper lives. A team of promotions people from Omo are standing by waiting to visit those folks who bought the boxes to give them a fancy new pocket video camera. But critics say in Brazil, where the crime rate is high, shoppers could be, well, creeped out by being followed home by a stranger, in which case the video camera will come in handy for evidence. Check us out online, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org, and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.